This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, rattling the microphone. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. Bill Newell is at the Beverly Danvers baseball game, but Bill also has a ton of interviews that we're going to be looking at in a little while. And we'll be talking to Bill, too, from that venue. A lot of scores to talk about tonight, a lot of coaches to talk with.
How are you going to call me if I'm here?
Lots of... Well, it worked last week, didn't it? And we do have interviews coming up with Johnny Gold that Bill got some post-game comments. He is the Marblehead coach. Where did I put all my information here? He's the Marblehead softball coach, as Marblehead beat Danvers today 7-2 in softball. And Bill also has an interview with the new Swampscott basketball coach. And we'll get to that in just a little while. As Nick Fusile. Boy, I'm a mess tonight, Coach. I've been so busy getting scores. Nick Fusile is the new Swampscott coach, and Bill talks with him. So our scheduled guests for interviews will be Nick Impresha, who is the Newburyport boys lacrosse coach, and they ended up on the short end of a 13-6 score today over Masco. Masconama 13, Newburyport 6 in boys lacrosse. We'll also talk with Judy Hoyle, who is the Hamilton Wenham tennis coach. Gary Larrabee will be by for his weekly chat on golf, and of course an update on the U.S. The PGA U.S. Senior Open that will take place in Salem in a couple of weeks. And I'm not sure if we're going to talk with Bob Boyce or not, because that game is ongoing. We'll be chatting with Bill Newell about the Danvers game. Now, Lynn Classical over Gloucester in a big baseball game today, 4-1.
Yeah, I went over to O'Malley after my game concluded, and the coaching staff was still on site, so I got to talk to a couple of the coaches, and it was 1-1 going into the seventh. And Classical was able to string three runs together, a couple of misplays on the part of Gloucester, and then a couple of hits pushed Classical to a 4-1 win. So they continue to march on with only one loss so far this season.
Don't have a lot of baseball scores as, oh my goodness gracious, I'm getting a score in here, 18-1. Well, who? And I hope it's not the bad guys, but we'll find out. Let's see. In baseball, it was a Classical 4, Gloucester 1. Pawtucket beat its opponent 8-2, and I don't know who the opponent was, but Pawtucket wins today 8-2. Archbishop Williams 5, Bishop Fenwick 2, and it was Beverly over Salem 7-5. Those are the baseball scores. And we've got in softball, it was Beverly 8-5 winning. St. Mary's over Cardinal Spelman 7-4. Triton down Rockport 10-7. And as we said, it was Marblehead 7 and Danvers 2 in softball. Both teams 7-1. And why not bring up Johnny Gold right now, as Bill Newell talk with the Marblehead softball coach right after the game, and then we'll have our first interview coming up in just a minute. So this is Bill Newell with Johnny Gold.
Well, Coach Gold, tell me, what were some of the highlights in the game today?
I think it starts with the first inning. They executed two really good bunts, so they had two runners on, and Charlotte just bared down and stepped out the side after that. That was huge for us to get us out of the inning. Every time that they might have got a runner on, Charlotte just came back and took somebody down. We played a tight defense of game all day. Mercedes Pelletier, who bats ninth for us, she had three big hits. Charlotte had two hits and keeps on hitting the ball. And then it was big because they were coming back. They were a good team, Davis. I think they're 7-0, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
We're 6-1. Well, we're 7-1 now, but Montana took that ball out of the park, and that was big for us. It was a big hit for her and just for the whole team, and it was nice because I think in my career here, 13 years, this is only the third time we've ever beaten Danvers. So that was a big win, and it's a happy win for these kids.
Absolutely. Are there offensive heroes for you guys?
Yeah, sure. Again, Mercedes was 3-for-3. Charlotte Plackens, a pitcher, she had two doubles also with two RBIs. Of course, I just talked about Montana with a big hit. Sophie Venner had two hits. She kept us in the ball game. So all in all, they did a great job.
What's up next for you guys?
Winthrop, at Winthrop, and they're always tough. So we just got to keep on going. I'm proud of these kids. Last year we graduated 7 players, 6 of them starters. 4 of them were all-stars, 2 all-conference players. And this is a young team, but they keep on battling.
Yeah.
They're fun to be with.
All right, that was Johnny Gold, who is the Marblehead coach, softball coach, as it was, again, Marblehead 7 and Danvers 2. We'll take our first break. We're going to come back and talk with the Newburyport boys lacrosse coach, Nick Compressa. You're listening to MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night on this another cold, drizzly Monday. Great baseball weather Monday night. There you go.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Okay, we are joined now by Newburyport boys lacrosse coach Nick Compressa. And coach, I'd say how you doing, but I'm sure it's always tough after a loss. You guys coming up on the short end against Masco today, 13-6. But how are things otherwise?
Yeah, I mean everything was good. It's usually after a loss I'm pretty upset, but you know when our guys battled hard, it was tough conditions over there playing on grass because you know we're a turf team. We did try to simulate it at practice a couple of times, but you know, it's kind of tough with the way the schedule is so jam-packed this year. We also did have Sam Spaulding, one of our top defenders, out today with a neck injury. And we also were without Hunter McCoy, who is our leading ground ball guy off of the faceoff. So having those two out, they were last-minute scratches. So those two being out were definitely they definitely hurt us. But you know what? Our guys battled back. We were always in the game. And then late in the fourth quarter, you know, Masco just they took advantage, and I tip the hat to them. They outplayed us a little bit, and we made too many little mistakes that led to us losing the game today.
Coach, how does the game change from grass to turf in terms of lacrosse? You know, a lot of different sports are moving to it. How does it impact on lacrosse?
Yeah, I mean it has a pretty big impact. You know, it's a whole different dynamic. Usually guys are more used to ground balls on the turf with the bounce, the way the ball bounces. It's a whole different ball game. Shots were staying in. Usually they go right out. So it's a whole different dynamic that, you know what, I'm not going to make an excuse for it. We definitely were ready for it, but it was definitely a change of pace for us from playing on turf the entire year.
Nick,
and switching over. So,
what were some of the keys to today's game, Nick? In terms of how Masco played, was it draws, ground balls, transition? What made the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think today they had a better transition game than we did. And I tell you, the biggest thing that a lot of coaches really don't talk about too much is the clear game. They were much better on the clears than we were, and our ride wasn't as effective as it normally has been this year. So that aspect of the game is what I think was the difference. And like I said, they capitalized on a few of our late turnovers or late mistakes in the game. And I think that's what really changed the tide for us. But we did, I mean, in all fairness, we did have looks that we were getting all game. We just didn't finish or capitalize when we needed to.
All right. What's the highlight of two so far up to this point, coach?
The highlight of the best thing about it right now is that we're really clicking on all cylinders. I know today is kind of an anomaly. to the season, but we're getting contributions from everyone offensively. And defensively, I think we've become a very good communicative defense. Cade's really stepping into his starting role as goaltender right now. And I think just overall, we're playing well in all facets of the game. I know today was a little bit different, but we've been on a roll. Today was a little odd with losing two of our starters right before the game started. So it was kind of we had to adjust on the fly. But I think overall, I think we're getting contributions from everyone on the team. It's not just one person or two people carrying the team and being the reason why we're 7-3. We're 7-3 because of everyone on the team, and that includes the guys that maybe don't see the field a lot. So we're getting contributions from everybody. So I think that's the biggest highlight right now.
You know, Coach, we talked about your record just before we came on air. You're 7-3, 4-1 in conference play, and we're nearing the midpoint of all spring sports seasons. So you've positioned yourself really well to qualify for the tournament fairly early on if you can maintain this kind of momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got another tough test on Friday at home against Norristown. Again, like I've been saying, we're pretty senior heavy, as you guys may know from early on the year when talking about the team. But I tell the seniors all the time just to get them fired up. This is your last crack at whoever we're playing in the Cal. And every game that we play in the Cal has been tough. I know some of the records, some of the scores might not show it, but I mean every team that plays us tough. And every game that we've played so far has been a grind. So Friday is going to be a really tough test. But I think our guys are ready to bounce back quickly, which is the beauty of lacrosse, I think. Some sports like football, if you lose, you have to wait 7 days to kind of redeem yourself and fix your mistakes. With lacrosse, we're blessed with the opportunity to, have a quick 2-3 day turnaround, and we're right back into action. So tomorrow we'll break down the film, go over what we need to, and take care of business on Friday, and be one more game closer to qualifying for the state tournament, which has been this team's goal since day one.
All right, Coach, we're going to check in with you from time to time, if that's okay with you.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Nick, and good luck the rest of the way. Talk to you later.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
That's Nick Impressio, who is the boys' lacrosse coach up at Newburyport. Girls doing fantastic as well. I don't have a score on them today, but I believe the girls are unbeaten, and they took it to Manchester Essex earlier this year, which was quite a surprise. And let's check out what we do have in lacrosse scores. Concord Carlisle 17, Marblehead 9, and that's all. That's the only final score that we have. I did see on Twitter that Abby Carlton in Winthrop has scored her 100th career goal, but again, I didn't get a score on that. So Concord Carlisle must be a wagon beating Marblehead 17-9 because Marblehead is extremely strong. Okay, how about we take a break, and then up next will be Judy Hoyle. She's the Hamilton Wenham girls tennis coach, so we'll be back with that in just a second. That's pretty good. I like that.
Audio background.
Yeah, I was looking. Okay, then. That was pretty good.
Sunday brunch at the Gloucester House. The brunch includes Gloucester House baked haddock, grilled beef tips, fruit-filled crepes, chicken, potatoes, and much, much more. Sundays from 10 to 2. $20 for adults, $12 for children. The Gloucester House. On the water at 63 Roger Street in Gloucester. Owner Lenny Linquata.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back now with Hamilton Wenham girls tennis coach, Judy Hoyle. And Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
Oh, we're doing fine in the great baseball weather. I don't know about tennis weather, but how'd you guys make out today?
We had a great day. It was another W for the Hamilton Wenham Generals. The singles, again, are on a roll. They swept all positions in a... The scores were reflective of their determination to win with a 6-2, 6-0 in one, a 6-2, 6-2 in second singles, and a 6-0, 6-2 in third singles by, respectively, Ella Provost, Maeve Chica, and Grace Condon.
Who'd you beat today, Judy?
We beat Masco.
Oh, all right. So that's an important win for you guys, I gather.
It was a big win today, yes. It was exciting.
Okay, and what's your record up to this point?
We are 4-1.
All right. Okay, Coach, tell us a little bit. We've been getting your reports and posting them as you send them in every night. And tell us a little bit about your team, some of the players and their strengths and so on.
Well, it was interesting. I lost probably 8 seniors last year, 8 or 9. And I was kind of leery about what we were going to be looking like. And I was pleasantly surprised. I've got some strong freshmen coming in, along with my returning senior, Mae Bachica, playing number 2 singles with a really greatly skilled and tenacious player with Ella Provost, and another freshman playing 3rd singles, Grace Congdon. And she's looking promising. She's steady, 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 and consistent as can be. My doubles teams, I have a returning doubles team from last year, and I think they're going to make a turn. They're just getting out of the gates a little bit, maybe a little nervous and tentative at times, but expecting good stuff from them. That's Tori Cooper and my other captain, Lindsay Campbell. And one's a senior, Lindsay, and Tori is a junior. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting some good stuff from them. And
excellent.
I'm still in flux a little bit with my number 2 singles, doubles, excuse me. And so we're mixing that up a little bit.
Excellent. Judy, again, tell me the score. I'm writing it down as we go along. What was your score today? How many did you win?
We won 3 singles matches and lost both our doubles.
Okay, 3-2. All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes. who's the biggest challenge for your team?
What was the biggest challenge today?
What is the biggest challenge for the team in the league? Who are you guys looking at the power besides you guys?
Oh, Linfield is always the biggest challenge. And that was our first loss. It was a tough opener. And we were lucky to get some games from them. They're always amazing, and we expected it. But I think next time we face them, once we have a little bit more seasoned play under us, we might give them a better challenge.
Coach, you talked about your doubles teams. Your singles are playing very, very well, and carrying the team right now. Your doubles teams are working into a more cohesive unit. Do you try to pair girls up that are of in the same grade levels, like a freshman and freshman, so that they develop that rapport? Because playing doubles is something you've got to learn to communicate with each other, if not by voice, but by body language, by hand signals, and that takes a lot of time. And really, do you have enough time over the course of one season to develop that more? You'd want to have them doing that over the course of a couple of years.
It's definitely doubles is it's a team, 2 people out there on the court being able to communicate. You just kind of hit that nail on the head. My number 1 doubles team has been playing together for 3 years, and they're very good together on the court. They know where they're going to be, and I think once they get a little more confidence under their belts, I think I'm going to see them step up a little bit more. So I'm really confident with their play. They've had 1 win and 3 losses. But they've been close. They've been fighting. One of them was a 3-setter that they lost. So they're in it. The other players are pretty new, and I'm playing around kind of seeing who has the chemistry together, because it hasn't really clicked for anyone on the court. So I'm just playing around with that to see, and I think you're right, putting freshmen together, that's actually a really good idea. But and sophomores together, so... Yes, I do try to do that a little bit, and I didn't even realize I was doing it, but I did.
All right, Coach, you just gave Tim Kearns a big head here. He's so happy that he got that right, but it certainly makes sense to me. I always wondered how you figure out who plays doubles with kids. That to me was always a mystery. Coach, finally, what do you have coming up now the rest of the week?
We have another match on Friday against Ipswich. It's a non-Cal League match, so... A little less pressure on that, but I think we're looking good.
Judy, sounds like you're having fun and the kids are having fun. That's terrific.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you later and keep those reports coming in. We'll keep posting them.
All righty, thanks so much.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks,
congratulations.
Coach.
Have a good night.
That's
thank you.
That's Coach Judy Hoyle, who is the Hamilton Wenham girls tennis coach, and you will see her posts. She always gives praise to the kids and to the other team as well. She always gives credit where it's due. Yeah, I wondered about that last week. I was talking to the Hamilton Wenham boys tennis coach last week and trying to figure out how that works. Because when adults, when you want to play doubles, you say, okay, you pick your partner and then you go from there. But you know how to play doubles to begin with, and I'm sure kids do, but it must be difficult matching them up. So. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, are the individuals stronger on one side of the court or the other? Is one stronger to the front, to the back? So it's things you have to constantly adjust to. And these kids, some of these kids are still learning the game itself and the dynamics of the movement on the court and positional play. And again, being able to communicate in any sport is such a vital part. And sometimes that failure to communicate means failure to launch.
Failure to communicate. You remember
what
that?
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
He pronounced L with a Y. It was Strother Martin in, what was the name of that movie? Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Failure.
A failure. Okay, then.
Classic.
Okay, we'll take a break and talk some more sports. So let's go through some more scores here, Coach, before we take a break. And Gary Larrabee will be up next. But again, in softball, Beverly winning 8-5. St. Mary's over Cardinal Spelman 7-4. Triton down Rockport 10-7. Marblehead 7, Danvers 2. Both teams at 7-1, and you heard from Coach Johnny Gold. Bill Newell getting the postgame comments in that one. And then Shawshin 6 and Greater Lowell 2. In girls tennis, it was Hamilton Wenham 3, Masconama 2, and Saugus was a winner, as was Beverly today. In boys tennis, it was Beverly 4, Salem 1, Pentucket over Linfield, don't know the score. Swampscott beat Revere. I don't know if you call it 5-0 or 5-love. I think it's 5-0. You win 5 games, they win 0. But
if it was soccer, it'd be 5-0.
Right. Thank you for on the pitch. On the pitch.
Yeah. And my JV team moved to 6-2 on the season? With a 2-1 walk-off win against Lynn Classical's JV today over at State Fort Park.
That's a baseball score.
And I have to credit sophomore Jake Lucido. Pitched a complete game, 109 pitch, 12 strikeout performance, and drove in the winning run. So
okay. Boys lacrosse today, as we talked to Newburyport varsity coach Nick Impressia just a few minutes ago, it was Masconomet 13, Newburyport 6. Newburyport without a number of its starters in that game. Bishop Fenwick over St. Mary's 9-8. Beverly 16 and Danvers 5. Triton beat Pope John the 23rd 14-3. That's a high school, by the way. Didn't really beat the Pope. And Reading 11 and Melrose 6. Well, you never know with fake news.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's Pope Francis. Pope John has been around for ages.
Well, and you also know
the
that
last Pope John was Pope John the 23rd.
Andy Jackson had been alive, he would have prevented the Civil War. You haven't heard that one yet, have you? Oh, we'll go home and see the news tonight, Coach. Coming out of the White House.
Oh, my God.
In girls lacrosse, it was Concord-Carlisle 17, Marblehead 9.
Was that another gem from Spicer?
Oh, no.
Or
oh, no.
The man
this,
himself?
This came from the other guy. Baseball.
Otis?
Yeah, it was Classical down in Gloucester's for Classical remaining perfect now, 4-1.
They have one loss, I think.
Do they?
I think so.
Okay. Well, Classical winning 4-1 over Gloucester. Pentucket 8-2, a winner. Archbishop Williams 5, Bishop Fenwick 2, and Beverly over Salem 7-5. We'll talk with Bill Newell later. I'm pretty sure Bill is at the Marblehead Danvers baseball game. And,
you mean Beverly Danvers?
Is it Beverly Danvers?
No.
No.
I thought you said Beverly Danvers earlier.
I may have. I don't know. I'm so confused
right
now.
You've got so much written down on that piece of paper. I can't even figure it out.
I do, and I'm very confused right now. Anyway, I know there's a game at Danvers. Bill is there.
Oh, okay.
So I think it might be. It is Beverly. Danvers.
Oh, no, you have Beverly-Salem.
Okay, so
Beverly-Salem.
So it's Marblehead-Danvers.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my word. Sorry about that. Marblehead and Danvers. Okay, so we'll talk with Bill later on. Bill has been everywhere today getting interviews and pictures and...
I think you need to go to a commercial.
And everything else. Yeah, we will. And then we'll come back with Gary Larrabee and talk a little golf this evening as the golf season is rolling right along and the U.S. Senior Men's PGA Tournament will be in Salem in just a few weeks.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, our introductions have been remade, and we're joined now by Gary Larrabee, who is golf writer, sports writer, sports historian, and the media liaison for the PGA U.S. Senior Men's Open coming up in just a few weeks. Hi, Gary.
Hi, guys. How are we tonight?
I am well.
I'm cold, but otherwise well. How are you, Gary?
I thought I was going to get rid of my scarves and my mittens, but I had to actually wear them this morning heading over to Salem. Don't know when we're going to get into a full-fledged golf mode here, but I guess it's supposed to come tomorrow, at least for one day.
Yeah, at least for another one day. You're right. Yeah. Gary, how do things amp up over at the country club as we get closer to the time of the men's senior tournament? And not only in terms of activities overall over the next month, couple of months, and then how is your job in particular amp up?
Well, operationally, things are going very smoothly. Everything looks very good for what they'll be doing inside the clubhouse and in the pool area and the tennis courts, which will all be corporate hospitality. But the ultimate issue remains, and it's certainly in great condition right now, and that is the golf course. We were a little bit concerned with a lot of rain we got in the last maybe 10 days, but thankfully those rainstorms were followed with at least one, if not two, mild days. And with this a pretty good stretch of dry weather, even though we had a couple of showers here and there the last few days, every one of these warm days we've had, and tomorrow should be another one, is bringing the course into really beautiful shape. Took a look at the golf course last Friday, and it looks phenomenal. They could almost play the tournament now, except for a couple of greens where the grass has not, maybe as they say, woken up quite to the normal extent that it will. Needs a few more warm days, and once we get consistently warm days, I can guarantee you that they could play the championship here over Memorial Day weekend. Never mind the weekend leading into 4th of July. So the turf looks great. The golf course looks spectacular. You know, they've opened up some areas, but by cutting down some trees over the last 18 to 24 months, they restored the greens to their original size and shape. Two falls ago, leading into last season. Right now, there's not really a problem to discuss. Everything looks just fantastic. So much better than we've talked about in the past. So much better than what we had to deal with in the spring of 2001. And of course, we've got Preview Day, as the USGA now calls it. Used to be called Media Day. Now it's called Preview Day, coming up 2 weeks from today on May 15th, featuring some top USGA officials, but most importantly, defending champion Gene Sowers will be on board.
Now, when will they start beginning to put up all of the various tents and concessions and sponsors areas?
That's a very good question. They'll be starting that up the second week, I believe, in June. They need two good weeks to do that, and last I knew, they would be start putting up the posts for the roping and the bleachers and setting up all the space that the trailers need. The trailers start coming in, I think, June 1, and we're talking about trailers for food, for all the outside concession stands, for Fox TV, and all the other support stuff. They have all those spaces allotted away from the golf course. It worked out very well, even though it was tight back in 2001. They've got that all ready to go for when the trailers start rolling in and Fox TV starts bringing in their equipment. It's going to be coming a lot faster. Now that we're in May, I mean, my goodness, it's Memorial Day in what? 4 weeks from today. And then the course really starts making a transformation. Fortunately, though, the members will be able to play the golf course right up into, I think it's the 23rd or the 24th, midweek, prior to Championship Week, which really begins on Monday the 29th of May. I'm talking of June now, Monday the 26th of June.
Now, will the Golf Channel be covering the early rounds?
I believe it's all Fox. I think Fox does all of the USGA championships, whether they do 4 days, 2 days, 3 days. In this case, they'll be doing 4 days.
Wow.
I think it's like 1 to 6 on Thursday and Friday, and or 1 to 7 Thursday and Friday, something like that, and then 2 to 6, 2 to 7 on Saturday and Sunday. So there'll be plenty of TV, but there'll be an awful lot of action and a lot of fun to get out there and watch the action live and in person as well.
Oh yeah, having been there the last time, it is so worth the effort to get out there. I think that's one thing that a lot of people who watch tournaments on TV don't appreciate is the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes just in the preparation to get the course ready and to get all the ancillary activities all organized so that it goes off extremely smoothly as it appears on TV.
No, you know, among USGA, Fox, all of the supplementary vendors and technology vendors who come in to help, and then of course all the people at the club and the various committees who have been gearing up for this for 3.5 years. It's going to be a well-oiled machine. Really, starting the 1st of June.
Really, I just had a question, a comment I was going to make, and I totally just lost it.
Well,
it'll come back to
me. All right.
It happens.
All right, Gary, what else is going on?
Well, I think we should congratulate one of your favorite golfing gals down there in Cape Ann, which would be Abby Hood of Bass Rocks.
Of the famous Hood family, yes.
Yes, Abby, I believe she's a junior on the Sacred Heart College University women's golf team down in Connecticut. They won their first Northeast Conference women's golf championship a couple weeks ago, and I believe they were awaiting, and I think they already have that. I got to get to work on that. Looking up, they're going to be assigned to a Division I regional site for the NCAA Division I Women's Golf Championship. Now, they don't compete. They can't compete, obviously, with Duke and UCLA and USC and Texas, all those big-time women's golf programs, but they're going to have a chance to play with some of those teams, at least in the NCAA Division I regional. I haven't seen exactly where they've been assigned. I will check with Peter Hood momentarily, and we'll find out. Peter, of course, is Abby's father, the head golf professional and general manager at Bass Rocks Golf Club. But a very exciting time for Abby. She shot a final round 70 and played a key role in Sacred Heart's team winning the team championship. I think they played that down in, I think it was in Florida. So good news for Abby Hood, and there's a lot of good things keep happening to those Cape Ann high school and college golfers.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up, Gary. I appreciate that because I don't think I would have known otherwise, so I do appreciate that. All right, anything else you want to talk about on the pro level or closer to home?
No, it's pretty quiet locally, but MGA starts their tournament schedule. I believe it's next Monday and Tuesday with the state four-ball championship, and I can't tell you at the moment where it's being held, but our amateur players are going to start to get in some serious competition, and of course, all of our local players who are prepared and eligible are gearing up for U.S. Senior Open sectional qualifying, either locally at Kernwood on Wednesday, May 24th, or elsewhere, but we're getting closer and closer, guys. Every day gets us closer, and every week really gets us closer, and the official countdown has been ongoing. That's for sure, ongoing.
All right, go ahead.
I know what it was, Gary. Gary, you know, you mentioned over the last 3.5 years. I remember 3.5 years ago you teasing us with there's an announcement coming. I can't say anything definitively yet, but when I can, I will let you guys know. And you kept stringing us on. I remember about this announcement of something big coming to the North Shore once again. And now 3.5 years later, it's 2 months away from us.
Indeed, you know, that announcement could have been something else too. There were other clubs who were talking with the USGA and about other national championships, and I was anticipating a possible announcement from one or two of our other elite tournament courses around here, but those didn't come to fruition. Salem's invitation to the USGA did, and here we are getting antsy and getting very excited about it.
What do you got coming up in the Salem News this week, Gary?
Well, we're going to be talking about a young fellow, he's not young anymore, he's my age actually, almost 70, but he was the great local story at the 2001 U.S. Senior Open, a local amateur who was given no shot of qualifying. He qualified for his hometown U.S. Senior Open at Salem. That we're going to share a look back on that and visit with him and see what's up in his life since that very exciting time he had at Salem back in 2001.
All right, and that'll be Friday in the Salem News and probably Saturday in the Gloucester Times and the other North of Boston Media Group newspapers. Hey, Gareth, thanks a lot. We'll talk again next Monday.
Let's warm it up, though, guys. Warm it up.
Let's hope so. Take care.
All right, Gary, good night.
Thank you.
Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and media liaison for the PGA Senior Open. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's already done a bunch of interviews, and he's got a bunch more to do.
And again, who better to be your media liaison than a guy has as many contacts as Gary has throughout the North Shore?
I told him, I don't know if you're here, but I said, you know, you've got to do, were you here when I said, you've got to write your memoirs? Because
you told me they said
the interviews he's got, oh my word, you know, and meeting all those great people.
And the thing of it is,
the icons of the game.
So much would be left out because you try to keep it under 5,000 pages.
Yeah, and it's got to be PG rated too, so, you know, I mean, okay, we'll take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to check in with Bill Newell.
Would it be PGA rated?
PGA rated. I like that.
Like that?
So, you know, Alexa, the thing there, the artificial thing.
You talk to what?
Yeah, and it plays music. Yeah. Well, anyway, she has a joke of the day if you ask her, Alexa, tell me a joke. So, let me get this right now. How does NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, prepare for a party?
I'm afraid to ask. How?
Planet. They plan it.
I'll wait till we go off the end of commercial before I hit you.
We'll be back.
Rick might not be back, folks.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm just, you know, I can't tell a good story, huh? Okay, let's see. Bill Newell interviewed the new Swampscott basketball coach, Nick Fusile, this afternoon, and we'll play that interview right after we take a quick break. So stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and Bill Newell, of course, the voice of the North Shore.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we're joined by Justin Fusile, the new boys basketball coach at Swampscott High School. And Justin, congratulations on being named head coach again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Newell. It's very much a privilege and honor to coach at Swampscott High School. To do it twice, the varsity team is something I didn't really believe would happen again, but I'm going to do the best I can with this program, and I look forward to having the challenges that we're going to see.
Well, you obviously call me Bill, but even though I'm in my advanced years here, okay. But anyways, tell us about, you know, you took over the program partway through last year. So I guess tell us what you feel you've been able to accomplish so far in coming into the program.
Honestly, my first day of coaching this year, I was very upset with where the team was. I thought that Coach Bourne did a very good job of pushing these players, and I'm not sure they quite answered the bell all the time for them. And I was disappointed when I first got it. I saw both sides of it where they felt one way and he felt another way, and parents felt one way and he felt another way. But what I saw happen was they weren't given full effort all the time, and that was disappointing to me. So I actually came into the gym and I brought my old jersey that Coach Bagley let me keep, and I put that at the middle of the court and had them all sit down and told them about how the program used to be run well before I was in it, whether I was a player, before I was a player, and the effort level that all those players gave. And I gave them names of players that were pretty tremendous. I talked about Chris Bolero, who graduated about 96, 97. He played professionally in Europe. Talked about Mike Smiley, who played with me and graduated in 2000 and went to Brewer Academy and then got into Holy Cross Division I, started his freshman year. And, you know, they told stories about that, how they got there through hard work and commitment to the program, being unselfish players, and always looking out for each other on the court, which was something that they had to learn. And I felt like the rest of the season they practiced very hard, which I know that they practiced hard before, but they practiced as a family more, that they were trying to coach each other up a little bit. If they noticed somebody wasn't doing something to the highest level of their capability, they would coach each other. And it was very, to me, it was powerful to see the older kids helping the younger kids finally, and, you know, the younger kids receiving those words of advice and implementing them in their game.
Well, Justin, you know the program has a rich tradition. You're kind of getting to that, and sharing that with the team, as you point out, is a huge thing. But it does. It does have a great tradition of competing for championships.
Yes. The way I look at it is Swampscott High School should go 10-10 every year. And what I see now is people are talking about Everett, Somerville, Malden, and Medford coming into our conference. I am particularly not a fan of that, because I think that the size of those schools is just, it's a lot bigger than the rest of the conference. And I loved the conference when it was smaller, even before Peabody and Everett. But I think Peabody and Revere, rather, I think those were good additions to the conference. But it was just the rivalries between Classical Swampscott, English Swampscott, Salem Swampscott. Those were tremendous rivalries that had Scooney Penn playing in them. You know, tremendous basketball players. And Swampscott could play with them. You wouldn't always win. Kevin Rogers would hold his own against anybody. He was a great player for us. And I don't know, I think that going forward, I think you have to start low. We have to start low. Next year, you know, we want to try to win more games than we did this year. This year we went 1-19. So we'll win it one game in December is our goal right now. And then we'll try to win two. And then we'll look at, you know, eventually, maybe not next year, but we want to be 10-10 regardless of who's in our league. Because we're Swampscott, we play as hard as anybody else, and we believe that if we leave it all on the court, we'll end up on the right side of the scoreboard.
And you're right, with the new schedule, I'm not sure how the basketball schedule works, but, you know, in other words, you may not, the way the spring sports are working, you're not playing like a rivalry like Marblehead twice during the season for like a baseball or a basketball.
That is correct. Marblehead's coach is a terrific man. He's a great coach, Mike Giardi, Coach Giardi. He is, a couple weeks ago we already talked about it. We said, you know, if we're on the schedule for one, are we going to play two? And we both believe that we have to play two, because you have to have a home and away with Marblehead Swampscott. It's the other games you might only see, I don't know, Medford once or Lynn English once, Lynn Classical once. And that would be disappointing to me, because those are teams I want to play twice. But we've only been playing once for a few years now, so it's just what it is at this point. You got to keep the true rivalries together. The Marblehead Swampscott has to stay together. Lynn English Classical has to play twice a year, I believe. The ones that are really the longest-standing rivalry should sustain life right now.
Yeah, I could see that. I keep Marblehead twice, but hey, if Classical's just once, let it happen, right?
I don't know. Classical, my last high school game was a tournament game against Classical at Classical. We both beat each other before during the season. We played at Classical. We had lost by four. I think it was actually 42-38. It was so low scoring. I remember both teams looking at scoreboard and saying, how did that even happen? Then we played a couple weeks later. It was in our gym, Swampscott High School, and we won in overtime, 65-61, something like that. And then in the tournament, we lost in their gym, even though we were up by, I don't know, 7 or 8 with 3:45 left in the game. We blew that game. We lost in the tournament. And, you know, that's what I remember Classical as, a team that ended my high school basketball career.
Yeah.
So I would love to play them twice a year, yes.
No, absolutely. But you know what? I've thought about this a number of times, this year, where you look at one of the great things, I think, in high school basketball was, let's say you played Classical twice during the regular season. You split. Then you happen to meet them in the tournament, like you're talking about, and you have that deciding game. How huge is that? Or if it happens, if you're 0-2 or 2-0, it's not necessarily what you want in the postseason, but it's a great matchup, so to speak.
That's correct. I think that if you go 0-2 against a team, but you get to play them one more time, you keep telling yourself that it's hard to beat a team three times. And if you're on the wrong side of that, you believe you're going to win that third game. I think when it's 1-1, as Jason Blydell, who was a terrific player for Swampscott High School, and Antonio Anderson, who was a great player for Lynn Tech, they played each other in the tournament, and it was that decisive game. It was basically the game that was going to send you to the North Final. It was at Beverly High School, and it came down to Antonio hitting a shot with about 1 minute left in the game from the elbow. He had a pull-up jumper, and that was basically the deciding basket. And the gym was packed, and both sides were great fans. And it was an amazing way to end that rivalry because it came down to, the last shots of the game. And it was three games they played. Both teams only lost like one game during the season, I think it was to each other. And then they get there and they could decide who was better that year.
All right. Do you know who will be coaching with you this year at Swampscott Basketball?
Yes, I do. My assistant is Jason Knowles, Coach Knowles. He teaches gym at Hadley Elementary School in Swampscott. He was a great high school basketball player, and he played at UMass Dartmouth in college. He was a good college basketball player. He's about 6'4" and a half, so he's able to coach the guards and the forwards. But I'm lucky to have Coach Bourne brought in Tyler Grillo from St. Mary's, and he's a great coach, so I'm able to keep him. And he's going to coach JV again, which he also coaches some in the varsity practices, where he'll take time and he'll work with our guards while Coach Knowles works with the postmen, and then we'll kind of just interchange them back and forth so that they're getting great coaching from all sides. And my belief with those two guys, I think both of them could be varsity coaches. I think Coach Knowles and I both, we believe we're on the same level in terms of how we're coaching this year. We both believe we can do the same amount for these kids, so we share the responsibility of trying to lead these kids back in the right direction.
Justin, you mentioned a couple of names here. You mentioned Coach Bagley, who coached you, but also Paul Moran, who's a legend. I used to cover his games years ago back when he was a player, before the three-point line and so on. But those are guys that you're still in very close contact with today?
Yeah, that's correct. Coach Bagley, in particular, he gave me an opportunity to coach basketball when I was 19 years old at Swampscott High, the freshman team, which I'll never forget. And he's always followed me on very closely. He's like a father figure to me, and he knows that. So I have a great bond with him. The other person, Coach Moran, he was the coach between Coach Bagley and I, and he did a nice job here. He works very hard here. He's still a great coach in Saugus, and I truly appreciate what he's done for me this year. As I was coaching his son, Matt, and Matt turned out to be one of our better players, or he's such a hard worker. And Coach Moran supported us all the way to the end. And I feel like he's supporting our youth right now for us because he runs a great Moran camp in the summer. And, working with him and him helping our community, our town, our Swampscott youth, knowing that he has this great knowledge of the town, he was such a great player within this community, is going to be wonderful for the children in this town.
Well, Justin, anything else you want to share with us about taking over the Swampscott boys basketball program?
I just think it's such an honor to coach in Swampscott, and then I think it's a duty to make them a great team. I really think that when you're the head coach of a varsity team in Swampscott, it's your responsibility, it's your duty to get the most out of your players every single practice, every single game, and you should improve all year long. If you're not improving all year long, you're doing something wrong. You got to step it up. So we're going to step up our game. We're going to get better every single game, every single practice, and see where we end up at the end of the season every year.
Good. All right, Justin, great talking with you, and best of luck.
Thank you very much, okay. Bill. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks. Justin Fusillo, boys basketball coach at Swampscott High School with us here. I'm Bill Newell on MSO News Sports.
All right, we're back, and I'm going to finish this very confusing hour of me. I'm the one who's confused. Bill Newell is here, and Bill, you've been all over the place today, so where are you now?
I'm at home.
Oh, okay. All right, so backtrack for me. What have you seen today? Because you have seen a lot. We just ran the interview with the new Swampscott basketball coach, Nick Fusile, and I know that you've got a whole bunch of other places you've been as well.
Yeah, Justin Fusile is the new boys basketball coach. He actually coached the team for 4 years back in 2009 to 2013. In 2000, graduated from Swampscott High School, so he's taken over the program. He's coached partway through the past season, but they finished the year at 1-19. So obviously, he's hoping for better things. But
So, yeah, so that announcement came out this week. So he is officially named the new boys basketball coach at Swampscott High School. And then a big NEC softball game today, Marblehead and Danvers over at Marblehead. Both teams now 7-1 following the Marblehead 7-2 win over Danvers today. So big win for the Marblehead softball team today. Montana Joyce with a home run. Charlotte Plackens pitched very well, striking out 10 Danvers players. And Paige Wodurski had a two-run home run for Danvers in today's game. So we just put that post up there. So we have some post-game interviews with Coach Johnny Gold from Marblehead, Colleen West Newbury.
hey, join the club, Bill.
Was that her maiden name, West?
Colleen, I'm sorry. It's Colleen Newbury. And she is the Danvers softball coach. And also the two stars for Marblehead today, Montana Joyce, the shortstop home run hitter, senior captain, and Charlotte Plackens, the pitcher, a sophomore, again, with the 10 strikeouts. And there's some photos up there as well from Misty Marblehead.
Misty Marblehead. All right. We're going to see if we can hold a Bob Boyce and see how Danvers baseball made out, Bill. That must be getting close to the end, I would think. And I'm just trying to see. As you probably know, Lynn
Classen. It started at 6:30. I kind of doubt they're over yet, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't want to bother them during. But the only other score in the league, two scores. You gave me Beverly over Salem 7-5. And as you know, Tim was over there, Classical over Gloucester 4-1. Those are the other baseball scores in the conference. So Classical keeps rolling along.
Yeah, they're undefeated. And, maybe you guys have talked about it, but kind of an interesting thing this year in that, you know, a team like Peabody that lost to them this past week, they only play them once. So they can't come back and try to get them again. You know, they used to have the NEC Lars and you'd play each other twice, but that's not the case. So, I think a bunch of these teams are like playing 5 games in 6 days or something or other. So, I know Danvers did jump out to an early lead. I think I saw that earlier tonight over Marblehead.
Yeah, I think I saw that 2-0 or something like that. All right, well, we're going to have a lot of scores up there. I'll add what I have later on, and I've got a couple of interviews I can throw into the scoreboard as well.
And we do have the interview also we'll be posting with Justin from Swampscott. That's going up in just a few moments here as well. So, okay. All right.
All right. Well, great job. Get some rest, Bill. Thank you.
How's Tim doing? How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well. My JV's won today. We're sitting at 6-2. So the guys are doing a good job.
You're standing right now?
I'm sitting right now, but we're 6-2 overall. My JV baseball team.
I'm sorry. I missed, yeah.
So and you know the days are dwindling down to the precious few.
Yes, they are. And so, in a number of different ways, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, in so many ways.
I'm going to join the leisure club that you two have been in for a year or two now.
And we would love that. That would be great.
All right, Bill. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I lost you, Bill.
Bill, you there?
No, we lost
him. Bill's gone.
Okay.
Kind of a bad connection there.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that anyway. Yeah. No, we haven't talked about the schedule, Coach, and I think that we ought to at some point. I was talking to a couple of athletic directors recently who shall be nameless for obvious reasons, and there's not a lot of great pleasure about the way this schedule has been set up, and I know for football, a lot of people locally around here are very upset with it, but I guess this was sort of pushed through by principals more than anything else. And the schools that were accepted into the Northeastern Conference from the GBL, as opposed to the schools that were not allowed in years before, it's confusing. And everybody brings up Masconomet, you know.
Well, you know, Masconomet has been very good across the board athletically, and I think there were those in the Northeast Conference that didn't want to admit Masco because they didn't want to have an L-Tech next to that game on the schedule. And I think it's been very unfair to Masco. We talk about expenses in the conference and trying to save money here and there and charging kids more and more every year to play any one sport or X number of sports. And then they increase the travel budgets by putting in teams – that are further away than your furthest team already. You know, bringing in, we took in Revere several years ago. And, you know, we already go to Winthrop. And that's I always call that the road trip to hell, because simply because it's so long. You're placing, you get stuck in traffic.
Yeah, but
you know,
it's a great rivalry.
It is marvelous. And I don't mind.
Tremendous.
Once you get there, it's a rivalry. It's
absolutely
intense.
But that should be the longest, farthest trip. Winthrop, know, that's enough. But now, Somerville and Malden,
you know,
and Medford.
So you have to know, not only – tack into your Winthrop every year. Now it's been down to Saugus, but now you're going to Revere. Now you're going eventually to Medford. You're going to be going to Malden.
Somerville.
You're going to be going to Somerville
and Everett,
and to Everett.
Yep,
and it's like, you're not shortening. You're not cutting back on your travel expenses. You're increasing.
And I don't have a tremendous difficulty with those teams or those schools or traveling to those schools. My problem is that it takes away the other stuff. Like Bill just said, you don't play your rival twice a year. And in football, you're not going to play some of your rivals at all anymore.
Yeah,
you know, your geographic rivals. And that to me is what bothers me. I don't care about adding teams and adding additional to your schedule. But taking away all the other stuff is what upsets me.
Well, you know, in the one side, I talk about the travel because it's the expense involved. And that expense has to be covered by cutting back on something else within the athletic budget, and then you add in the reduction of the home and away series, and it's like, you know, we play classical today, and that's it. You're not going to see them again,
right?
You know, and you know we play Danvers back to back, and I'm not sure who else in the group that will play twice, but it's like, you know, we end the season at Somerville. It's like, you got to be kidding, you know, and there's no meaning to that game right now, because there's nothing established, and it just is incredulous. And then nobody's going to play Everett in football. We play everybody else except Everett football.
Right.
Well, why don't you play Everett football? If you're going to bring them all in, bring them all in.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I know. Okay. Well, we'll discuss this more with others as we go along. But a wicked busy night, and I'll I got to rest for my confusion. I apologize for my confusion tonight, but. That's the way, I guess, when you get my age, you know. All these scores will be posted. Bill Newell has got a million of them up. He's working on that right now as we speak on MSO News Sports. So be sure to check out the website. He'll have the scores posted. I'm going to grab a couple of these interviews and throw those up there as well.
I will check my Twitter out in the car before I leave, and I'll see if Bob has posted a score. If there's a final in on the Davis game, I'll send it right up here.
All righty then. Okay, we didn't even get to the pros, but that's all right. We can save that for another day. We'll be back next Friday. No, we won't. We'll be back next Monday. We'll be Friday. We'll have Trending Now with Josh Arnold on Friday. And I believe we have an in-studio concert coming up from Greg Verger's Unfinished Music Studio this Wednesday. I have to check on that. But we do have plenty of those, at least two of those each month, and a big announcement coming soon about something that's going to happen at the end of the summer with Greg Verger's Unfinished Music. That's it for now, though. From here, for North Shore Sports Night, for Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.